In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Welcome back to another episode of the Talk 20s podcast. You want to know what it takes to bootstrap a business from side hustle to multi-million pounds in revenue. In this episode, I'm joined by Simi Dillon, CEO and founder of Simmer, which creates healthy foods for hungry minds. Listed in Forbes 30 under 30, Simi has an amazing story of how he has built his business alongside his brother. So get ready for another tasty episode. And whilst you're at it, hit that subscribe or follow button so you never miss an episode of Us in the Studio. So Simi, you have had an incredible year. Can you show us a photo from this time last year and tell us a little bit more about it? Something maybe our audience haven't seen before, a little bit behind the scenes to life as Simi.
Okay. Do you want me to show it to the camera as well?
Yeah, if you can.
Okay, let me just put it back up. So I think this one is quite nice. Yeah. Where's the camera? There.
Okay, so that? Massive lorry, for those that are listening in via audio, a massive lorry with your Simmer meals in. It's big DPD.
Yes.
And who is in front of it? You?
So it's me, my brother, and my mum. Yeah. And it's actually on the 8th of January last year, so it was my birthday last year.
Okay.
And it would have been a Sunday, because that's the day that DPD comes, collects from us. And it was the first time they sent this huge lorry.
Wow.
And I think next week they're now going to send three of those. we struggled to fill this up. Like, I think there's another photo here where it's like, you can see there's a few boxes in there.
So what were they sending? What kind of van were they sending before?
Like a tiny little, you know, like the one that would deliver to your house,
yes.
The smaller van.
Okay, yeah.
And then it got so big where they send now the huge
this
van.
This massive truck.
Yeah, this lorry.
Wow.
We were so excited that they sent this big lorry. We're like, it's crazy for them to pull up to our small industrial estate with this massive lorry.
Yeah.
And I remember, just getting so excited about it. And we only filled up a fraction of it. And now then we got to filling up the whole lorry. And then we got to filling up three of those. So I think that's quite a nice moment just to put things into perspective quite physically.
Yeah. How did it feel in that moment?
I think it's very it's nice because... a lot of the time when we're doing stuff online or communicating with customers via email and you see the orders and you see the numbers coming through, tens of thousands of meals, it doesn't really, you can't really feel it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously I'm not always as close to the operations, but actually going there and physically seeing, wow, this is going to have 10, 20, 30,000 meals is crazy to mm-hmm. see actually what that looks like.
So if someone who's stumbled upon this podcast, they have absolutely no idea about Simmer.
Yeah.
How would you describe Simmer in 1 minute or in your elevator pitch?
Oh, I can do it in a couple of sentences. So Simmer Eats is a healthy meal delivery service. We deliver delicious, healthy meals to your door, ready to heat and eat in a couple of minutes. So we serve people who are time, taste and health conscious. And our big focus is on the taste side of things as well as convenience.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to get that pitch down to what you just said?
At least 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
Because we were actually working out what we did. We pivoted a lot of times as a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not perfect.
I would say that's a pretty good pitch. I think for a lot of entrepreneurs listening to that, that was just such a short snippet that you know that you can just, it just rolled off the tongue.
Yeah,
you know?
I think I probably said it so many times, written it so many times.
Yeah.
And it also just makes sense. It's good to sell a simple product that makes sense to a lot of people.
Yeah. So you've been going for about 7 years then, and we're going to quickly run through your backstory because you've talked about your backstory in lots of other podcasts, and we're going to dive into some kind of actionable advice for those who are wanting to start businesses like yours, the entrepreneurial kind who listen or just want to be inspired by some of the thoughts that you've got around lots of different things in the entrepreneurial world. So you started 7 years ago and you were in university at the time?
Yeah, I was in my first year of uni.
Okay. And at the time you were delivering meals to your mates. And how did it kind of grow from delivering meals to your mates to turning over multi-millions?
Yeah. Very slowly. I started off by just delivering meals to mates or anyone who'd buy them as a student. And probably for the first 6 months, just like that. Nothing crazy. Probably went from 10 meals a week to 50 meals a week.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing crazy. Maybe there's a week where we did 100 meals. It was just very slow. I was just doing it as a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
From there, going into second year, I actually had a summer between my first and second year where I then took it to Hitchin where I live and tried to sell it to actual working people, not students. And that's where we kind of stumbled on the idea of actual packages. So instead of selling one or two meals and as takeaways, we're going to sell whole packages, your whole meal prep for the week, your dinners, your lunches, and so on and so forth. And that's really where we were that was our first like major pivot. From there, went back to university, realized I couldn't do both at the same time. It was tough juggling that. So decided to take a year off university, working it full time. That's where we like properly set up as a company, got commercial premises, got staff on board. I fully removed myself from the actual physical process of being in the kitchen. And then, yeah, it's a very long story. After that, interned and did other jobs, realized there was a lot of potential and started thinking more like a startup as opposed to a small business. Went back, finished university, finished my degree, went to work full-time at Google as a job. And then whilst I was there, I was only there for 6 months in total. But after 3 months, I realized, wow, this business is just flying. We were doing like, we'd hit like £1 million in revenue. I was just like, why am I still working in a job? But yeah.
Well, it was Google. So, you know, like I can understand why you hesitated.
I didn't even think it was that. I think it was just more me testing myself and pushing my boundaries, thinking, ah, well, I'll do this for as long as I can until I literally can't do anymore. And that's what I did. And yeah, no regrets about, I think all the timings worked out well. I guess that's one of the bits of advice from myself as well, that I've always tried to push myself as much as I could until I physically can't do any more. And then I realized, so I have very few regrets of decisions I made. Like, did you leave too early? Did you start too early? Everything was kind of perfect timing.
And have you always been called Simmer?
No. So when I first started, we were called Rice and Spice.
Okay.
Because I was just like, ah, it's tasty, healthy chicken and rice. I'm going to sell it to students. There, that rolls off the tongue. And then I realized actually we've got a bit of an issue here because some of the meals don't contain rice. People think it's just too spicy and it was a bit constraining.
Yeah.
So we're like, how do we change this? And again, start with no knowledge of marketing or branding. So we changed it from Rice Spice to RNS Meals.
That's how I remember you guys. Yeah. Like that's where I first found out about you guys.
But then we're like, wait a minute, this is kind of a bit corporate and like that's exactly who we weren't.
Yeah.
So this really playful, exciting, informal brand. But actually the name was just like really like boring and didn't mean anything. Only after I quit my job at Google, because I didn't have enough time. We were just so focused on like developing the best product possible, best food possible, best service possible, and best marketing possible. So we were selling meals to people. They were happy, carrying on doing it. But we were like juggling so many things so that I didn't have time for a rebrand. And also we got to over £1 million in revenue without with like a brand and a name that I'd come up with as a student, like one evening in my kitchen.
A quick ad break from Zopa Bank. See if you could cut your monthly cost by connecting your accounts using the Zopa Bank app. Simply head to the For You page in the app, link your accounts and get personalized insights and tips to see if you could save on your bills or subscriptions. Just search Zopa, that's Z-O-P-A, in your chosen app store. And then, so when people are looking at branding then, what advice would you give to people?
I think we've done like very well, but I'm not going to claim to be an expert. It has just been like, so for us, the brand, I think we're kind of lucky because the brand has always been like myself, Jay, mum, like my brother, and it's been like very family and founder led. So I think that was always in our mind and that's what makes us different and unique. But I think the main thing about the brand is just being authentic and resonating with the audience. So it's just like, now when I see it, I'm actually quite impressed by it, even though sometimes I'll see like bits of the clothing or the box and I'm like, actually I can't believe that we've done that. We were doing some street interviews the other day and some woman literally came up to us and like, I don't have time to stop, but I just wanted to say, really love your boxes. I looked it up. I've just been standing there for a couple of minutes looking up and I'm gonna buy it. And I was just like, I didn't even think our boxes are that nice. But I think you always, as a young person or as someone who's maybe not like seen as like, oh, like the typical kind of entrepreneur, you maybe would doubt yourself a little bit. So that's where like sometimes when actually other people are just random strangers come up to you and saying, oh, this is great. You're like, okay, we're doing something right then.
Because I think the biggest concern for a lot of people starting out a business is actually like they spend a lot of time on like brand and name and all of those kind of things. I think you're a prime example of prove the model works and not worry about the brand and like you can change along the way.
100%. Like one of the things that I was thinking about the other day, there are businesses like in our space that have raised literally over £1 million and have gone bust. And the business, like so many businesses come and they will spend, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, up to 100 grand on their branding, getting their logo right, their packaging, their boxes, all the kind of stuff. Literally, we got, and they will never reach a million in revenue. even though they raise that amount of money, they're always losing money.
Yeah.
And we literally, for the first 5 years, we used to send out like plastic containers with a sticker on them, handwritten note on it, like a post-it note even. And then we got to our boxes were literally plain, unbranded, brown boxes with nothing on them. Mm-hmm. It was just like the most unprofessional thing ever. But people loved it. People loved the product. And our retention was unbelievable. People just love the simplicity. So yeah, I think there's definitely... I think we get a bit caught up in the branding. And I think branding is so important, but you can't get around the fact that you need a great product.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really key from that. So to you, bootstrapping has been your whole business. You've not taken investment at all. What does bootstrapping mean for those who don't really understand the concept? And why did you choose that route in business?
Yeah, so if I'm being completely honest, bootstrapping, the technical definition is probably not raising money. Mm-hmm. But I think some people claim to bootstrap when actually they've raised money from friends and family. So I think technically it's like when you don't go out and raise like institutional money.
Yeah.
So you can still technically take on loans, but you're not giving away equity in your business. But for us, it's just like the most pure form of bootstrapping ever, where it was literally, I went to the supermarket to buy some ingredients, probably £10. And then from that point, sold it for say £20 and everything went straight back into business. So we've never had to put more money into the business. We've never had to raise any money, take any loans, fortunately. So yeah, it's all just been so self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And for us, it just seemed natural. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been able to raise any money because I was a kid and we to this day have not had a business plan. So yeah, it's quite an unconventional way of growing a business, but it's worked.
It's interesting you say you didn't have a business plan there. I know your brother Jay, who doesn't do as many podcasts as you, he is your numbers guy. So if he were here, what advice do you think he would give about the number side of things? Because I think it's really important if you are going to bootstrap that you really know what you can and can't do.
Yeah, I think like we're both like very much on the number side of things. But like for us, like we would always just be like, if it's not going to like make money, why are you doing it, basically? Mm-hmm. And like for us, we've just been so clear on like, okay, deliver a great value product to the customer so they're happy. You take your revenue, you make sure that your costs are covered and you're making a bit of profit on top of that. But like there are so many times where people have joined the business or friends are like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm just thinking to myself, no, because we're going to lose money doing that. Like it doesn't make sense. And there are so many businesses out there, so many people who think, oh, we should do this and this and this. A lot of the flashy, nice, cool ideas don't make you money. Mm-hmm. So we've just been very clear on like, deliver a great product and grow in a way that's going to make us money.
Mm-hmm. When you do want to kind of, you do have a plan though that you think, you know, is bigger and a stretch from what you're doing. How would you bring that into your kind of plans? So like you want to hire a team because you can see that if you do hire that team, it will bring in more revenue. Like, what will you wait? Like, what's you've done in those situations, those crunch points? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's funny because I know we were talking before about buying a new laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
And the thing was like, wait for as long as you can. But like, that's what we've done in our business. We've like literally, when I quit my job, waited for as long as we could. And then it's just like an obvious decision. So we've never fortunately had to worry too much about these decisions. When we've invested in like, we started with one unit, then we acquired second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, even seventh now. Mm-hmm. And like, for so many people, like signing the first lease was so difficult. We were like, I'm in an RM for so long. We were like reading everything in the contract, but now it's just like don't even think about it. Just get a new lease, just get a new unit, spend 10, 20, 30, 40 grand on some equipment because we got to the point where it's just like, we 100% need to buy this. Mm-hmm. So we're always just a case of like our approach is push and squeeze as much as you can out of what you've got. When it's obvious, invest in the next thing. And it will just seem like a no-brainer of a decision.
Mm-hmm. And how do you be like really resourceful when you're bootstrapping?
I think you have to be because it's your money and you've not got anything to spare. So like, obviously if you raise £1 million, you're like, okay, it just feels like fake money, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with us, it's like, well, everything that we've got is ours. If we spend it, we lose money. So we need to make sure that we invest it instead of spending it. So yeah, for us, it's just been very natural with who we are as people, very frugal, very resourceful. And even to this day, I think probably in the last year, I've become a lot more relaxed in terms of very much valuing time over money. But even still, like the values that I've had all growing up and in the first years of business have put Simmer in like an unbelievable position.
Mm-hmm. And what advice would you give for someone wanting to be successful in business at a young age like you have? Because you're
27 last week.
27 last week?
This week, sorry, Monday.
This week, yeah. Okay. What advice would you give to someone wanting to be successful at a young age?
I think, and also like when I speak to people, I don't know if I can say this, but like I much prefer helping and speaking to like state school kids and working class kids, because like if you come from money, I don't understand it. So I feel like I'm not really in a position, then you're in a different position to me. So mm-hmm. actually for you guys, it might be that, oh, get like 10, 20 grand off your parents, because actually it's probably just easier to do that. Whereas for people who don't come from money, I would just say like your first business, if you're young, you're not going to end up raising lots of money.
No.
Just start with what you've got and build something. And even if you're like, oh no, well, I need to hire this person, I need to hire that person, I need to spend money. You don't. Like, you can just literally learn to do it yourself, teach yourself those things. Like now, like I think lots of people look at me as like, oh, this guy is a great marketer. I started off not knowing how to market at all. Like yeah. my background was in maths. Like I studied maths like my whole life. And like, yeah, I think you can teach yourself things. You just have to shift the mindset. So be really resourceful, teach yourself, like do more with less.
Mm-hmm. And I think you've got a specific phrase that you like to think of about 20s versus 30s.
Yes. So I would always say like 20s are for learning, 30s are for earning. So I think a lot of people and have a quite a short-term mindset. They're so desperate to earn money. And like 100%, I was like that when I was younger and I'm still like that. Like you got to do things that make you money. But if it's a decision between, you can make, let's say 10 grand and not learn anything, or you can make 2 grand and learn lots, do the 2 grand thing. I think, again, I've been quite fortunate with timing. I think in my first year, I was almost going to do a banking internship in my first year of summer, probably pay me like 3, 4, 5 grand over the summer. But I didn't get it. And luckily I was like, okay, I'm going to make my own internship on Simmer. Obviously made no money because I put it all in the business, but that was way better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have since then gone on to do the banking internships that will pay you 10K over the summer and great for the money. But again, went straight into the business and hated every minute of it and got out and never going back there.
So what are your thoughts on university then? Because I guess that's still learning in your 20s.
Yes. When it comes to university, I loved uni so much because I made the most of it. And that doesn't mean making the most of it by partying, mm-hmm. But making the most of it of like, I made the most of the environment. I started a business, right? And grew it. I used my university to speak to new people, meet new people from like completely different areas of the country. People who, had I not gone to university, I've never made friends with. I would never have had those connections. So yeah, just like making the most of university is like really important. So I would highly recommend university if you're going to go there with the right attitude.
Okay. And if you're like, if you're wanting to start a business, you would still say the same thing?
Oh, 100%. Because people don't like, okay, in this day and age, everyone's like, oh, don't go to university. University is a scam. And everyone's like, I want to start my own business. But if you think about it, if you get a job, you've got more pressure. Because like, you're not going to just finish school at 18 and go start a business. That's just silly. Like you shouldn't do that. You're going to probably get a job or an apprenticeship, earn some money and also start a business, or go to university and also start a business. It's so much easier to go to university and start a business because you can literally not go to your lectures and just kind of just get through the exams. Whereas if you go to a job, like you're accountable, yes, you can earn a bit more money, but like you've got a lot more pressure on you.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. I guess yeah. It's like time commitments as well.
Yeah. So actually Jay didn't go to university. Like he started off being a professional footballer and then he did an apprenticeship, a school leaver program with EY. So great job, was paid really well for his age. And whilst he was doing that, I was at university and I put way more time into the business. Mm. And I could. And like for him, it was always just like, wait, but I've got work. I've got this to do. My manager's on my back. Whereas for me, I was just like, no one's chasing you at university. And also the best time to start is first year. You've never got more time than first year. but unfortunately, a lot of people only switch on and stop partying when it comes to second, third, mm-hmm. or after graduating. Yeah.
So were you happy with what you achieved at university, or does it not really matter to you now, like what you did?
I mean, yeah, I was happy. Really happy. I actually went to university at Warwick first and then dropped out and went to Bristol. So yeah, I've dropped out of university as well. I've taken a year out of university and don't regret it at all. In those moments, I thought, life was over, failing and everything feels worse in the moment. And they are hard decisions at the time, but yeah, like literally no regrets. Loved going to university. Maybe should have gone out a bit more. But
you can always go out more. Everyone can go out more.
Like, exactly. Yeah. And like, I think there's a huge diminishing like marginal return to every night out. It's just like, it's not special, mm-hmm. after a while, but, no, I loved it. And even, so I had a little gathering for my birthday party on Saturday night. I think there's 10 people there. Obviously, myself, my brother, two other friends from home, and everyone else is people I've met from university. Mm-hmm. So like, again, like most of my friends now have come from university. And that was both Warwick, where I dropped out of, and I was only there for 3 months, and also Bristol, where I stayed.
Wow, yeah.
So yeah, I think 100% university.
Mm-hmm. So a young entrepreneur right now, they've got an idea. How do you know if it's an idea that you should pursue?
Is someone going to pay you for it? So the first thing is literally, can I get a customer? And I would always say trying to not sell it to friends and family. Like when I started off, like I was anonymous. Now we're such a founder-led brand, I was anonymous. I didn't want anyone to know it was me and buy it because it was me. And I was just like, well, if I can sell it, and if I can sell it to students, which is very hard to sell it to, because every student's going to be like, the whole point of the product is that we should sell to time-poor people who've got a bit of a disposable income and would rather trade, you know. Yeah. I wanted this slightly more premium product for paying a little bit extra.
Because you guys are the ones spending the time cooking, right?
Yes. Yeah. But then the fact that I was able to do it with students, I was like, oh, well, this should now be easy to sell it to adults.
Like if you can sell it to someone who's strapped for cash,
yes,
like you can sell it to anyone then, yeah. Really, yeah.
And I know obviously some ideas are more complex. They rely on economies of scale and like apps and software where maybe you're like going to charge nothing for it until you hit a certain point and then you can start monetizing it. Mm-hmm. But even still, like, just build it. Can you get users? Because at the end of the day, it's still hard to get someone to spend their time on it. Mm-hmm. I would just say the first and most important thing is to get users, learn to sell and build the product, because a lot of people be like, I need to be perfect before I launch it. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about what my friends think. And it's just like, it's never going to get off the ground.
Let's talk about Karen, about what others think then. I know that's a really important message that you have, that like, really stopping caring what other people think is one of the key parts of what you think is your success.
Yeah. Like now that I'm in this position and I wouldn't trade my situation with anyone. I'm really happy. Like I literally, when people are like, oh, you're going to sell your business, I'm like, oh, we maybe could, but what would I then do? I love what I'm doing. And I think now it'd be fair to say, not in an arrogant way, but like we're doing really well. We don't have investors. We're making money. Mm-hmm. Lots of younger people were like, oh, I want to do what he's done. But like when I started, I'm not sure people want to do what I've had to do to get here.
Yeah.
and I think the reason why we're actually still here, because lots of people have great ideas. Most of them, like 90% of them won't even start. The 10% who start will drop off over the time. And it's just like that 0.whatever% who actually stays and makes it to 7 years or 10 years, whatever it is. But I think one of the main reasons why people don't get there is just because they care about what other people think. So they're too, they care too much about things looking perfect. They care too much about failing and being seen as a failure by friends, family, etc. And I think I'm quite fortunate that I have never really cared too much about what people think. But I think it's also been easy for me to do that because I didn't go to like a really good school. When I went to university, I didn't really know anyone there. Mm. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm no one to you guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not an issue if I'm making chicken and rice and being the delivery guy. Whereas a lot of people who like, they're like, oh, that's not cool. Like, are you making so-and-so's dinner? Like, but for me, it didn't matter.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too, because like I moved to a different part of the UK and then built up my brand up here. So I was a nobody. So I was like, it doesn't matter who saw what I did. But if I was still doing this back in my hometown, I'd be so scared that I would be like, what do you think? When, you know, so I completely agree that like, it's easier in some circumstances to do that than others. Have you ever had times where you feel like you weren't seeing the results that you wanted to see with Simmer?
Oh, 100%. Like even December, like just gone. More notably, probably like when we first started, right? And when we started, it was just a fun project. There was no pressure on it. Going full-time on the business, I'm like, I've now quit a job. And it actually did stagnate a little bit after that. We're like, I was looking for answers, like wanting to quit, because you're just at the point where, you know, also, starting a business isn't just about the money. It's about the opportunity cost. And like, because you're working on the business, you're not doing something else. So whilst we've raised no money, actually, we've probably put hundreds of thousands of pounds into it in foregone salary from not working other jobs.
Yes, yeah.
So there are definitely times where I'm like, is this the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. But for me, it's more like just like, every so often, it's just those small thoughts that creep in and you just like, you have to just put them up to the side, because otherwise you waste time doing it. The best way to decide is like saying, why am I having those thoughts? Because we haven't got enough sales, or because the business isn't having a great month. Well, go and make it have a great month. Mm-hmm. Go and make some sales. Yeah. Go and do something else. You're going to try something. What's the point in sitting there twiddling your thumbs, worrying? It's not going to do anything.
My question was going to be like, how do you stay motivated? Like, do you have any like tips to go? I think for like, you know, numbers aren't looking great. Like you start like those thoughts creep in like, oh, I'll just go and get a real job. Like,
yeah.
What do you do in those situations?
I think I'm quite... I don't want to say, oh, you can do this, this or this. I think I'm quite like that. I've always been very like intrinsically motivated. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because of more of my background where I've grown up and seen my parents not really have great jobs. And I'm just like, ah, no matter what happens, like I have to be like comfortable in life and I mm-hmm. don't want to end up like that. So I think it's just like internally, I thought that to myself so many times as a child, I don't even think about it anymore. Like there's not even a question. Like, and I think that's probably like a wider point there on just habits in general. Like, if I'm not exercising, I will feel bad. Like it's easier for me to exercise than to not exercise. It's easier for me to drink water than not drink water. It's easier for me to walk than get an Uber because that's just like the way I've built those habits. So I think like initially it's always difficult. And as we're younger, it's easier to build these habits. But I think one of the biggest and most important things is building that habit, like mm-hmm. really like kind of have that intrinsic motivation. So like, it's just your default is to be productive and happy and healthy. I think that's probably not that actionable though for people, if I'm being completely honest. But I'd say focus on the habits. I think the other thing is just being really honest with yourself and like, where do you want to be in life? Because, you know, you can say you want to have this multi-million pound business, you want to look good or be healthy or exercise or whatever it is that you want to achieve in life, but you got to put in the work to get there. And like, you can just ask yourself, do I want to be this person or do I want to be that person? And if that's not enough to make you do it, then you're probably not going to succeed.
Very true. Very good. Very good advice. I think one of like Simmer's biggest like amazing points that you have is your ability to just storytell for your marketing. Like it's so good. How much of your content, how much of your marketing is organic and how much is paid at this point? Because I know most of it's been organic to this point, but have you ventured into paid now?
Yeah. So up until a good 5.5 years into the business, yeah. No paid ads.
Wow.
And we got to over $1 million in revenue that way. Okay. And so, yeah. Like,
any tips for anyone wanting, like who hasn't got the money for paid right now?
Yeah. Learn how to use social media. And yeah. Again, I'm saying this as someone, now people are going to be like, oh, well, you've got this audience, you've got hundreds of thousands of followers across platforms and stuff like that. But
you start with zero.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, if anything, like my mates used to use social more than me. Like I started an Instagram account like 3 months before I started Simmer's Instagram account. I started with no knowledge. And the initial posts were so bad. Like you probably scroll back to the beginning and see them, but I didn't care. Again, it comes back to the point about not caring about what we think. It doesn't mean you need to be super polished. And that actually, whilst we've been doing this for a long time, it's only become more popular recently, I think, but just being yourself and being honest and authentic. Back in 2017, 18, 19, 20, Instagram was really polished.
Yeah, it was like food shots.
Yeah, it was really polished. Yeah. You have to look really cool, very aesthetic. We've never been like that. And when we tried to be like that, it should not have gone down well. And we've just been honest and authentic and ourselves. And that's what people really buy into. So I would just say, be yourself, be honest and authentic. And again, don't worry about what people think. Yeah. So like post something out there that like you feel passionate about, that moves you. And you feel like, I think I know when a post is going to go viral, or like you kind of can tell, because I'll be sitting there writing it and like, it'll make me feel something. Like there'll be strong emotions while I'm writing it. And then when I come back to edit it, like I'll feel that. And then when I push it out, not every time, but a lot of time, like you'll get people commenting back to you saying, ah, like this really made me feel this. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, just being yourself, right with emotion and don't hold back.
Yeah, great advice. We always talk about our biggest adulting failures on the Talk 20s podcast. If you've got something you could share with us that you might look back and now say like, yeah, failure's great. But at the time you probably thought, I failed at something, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, I think the easy one for me, and that's quite relatable, is when I first went to university, yeah. I was studying maths and I was at Warwick, and like it was super hard to get into. You had to get like 2 A stars and an A and pass an entrance exam. And when I got that, I was like, this is shit. Like, I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Like everyone there was like an Oxford reject. And I was just like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I going to spend 3 years of my life? I hated it every single week. But again, my mindset is that firm it, just get through it. And even though I wanted to quit on like day one, I stayed there. I even went home over my summer, my Christmas holidays, studied all of my Christmas holidays. And the day I got back, I was like, literally seeing those buildings made like a feeling inside me. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was a big failure for me, because I was like, I was always being like top of my class at school, never struggled. And I was just like, I did struggle. And my instinct wasn't to quit. It was to carry on, again, to the point where I just knew that 100%, mm-hmm. I've exhausted this. Yeah. I can't do this anymore. But even still, it was embarrassing. It was like, I think more than anything, it was embarrassing. There was a lot of like doubt, self-doubt there, because I'm like, what am I going to do next? Mm. Like, I think it takes a lot of, because I know lots of people do drop out university. They switch course, or they just don't go back, or they switch university. I think it takes a lot of courage to drop out. It's embarrassing. And you do care about what other people think, right? So yeah. I'm saying don't care about what other people think. But in that moment,
At that time, you did.
And that was a huge failure at the time. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was a huge blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Because if I hadn't gone to Bristol and switched universities, I might never have started a business. I probably would have, but it was a perfect environment for me to do that. Mm-hmm. What felt like a failure at the time actually turned out to be a huge blessing in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. Following on from that then, like a lot of people will look at your life now and be like, Simi's got it so figured out. Like, you know, what he's done with Simmer and what he does, you know, how he's built the business with his brother and his mum is amazing. But we know from speaking to everyone on the podcast that no one is a finished product. Mm-hmm. And like everyone is personally working on something that they're trying to get better at. So in your mind, what is it that you're trying to get better at this moment in time personally?
Obviously this is a great thing for the business, but it's the fact that I spend too much time on the business. I'm literally like so switched on to the business all the time,
right,
that I can't take time off away from it. And obviously for myself as an individual, for my friends and family, it's probably not the best thing, that maybe I'll struggle to be present in certain moments. But also, if I'm going to be completely honest, I also don't care sometimes. I'm just like, I also say it like this, is like, I'm not trying to like appease my friends or family right now. I'm trying to appease my friends or family 10 years down the line. Mm-hmm. Because if they matter, they'll still be there 10 years down the line. Mm-hmm. I'll be better off and in a better position because of that. And I'll also like look after them, kind of thing. So that's kind of a bit of my mindset as well.
Do you not worry about like people's health and just kind of making most of the time with them like now though? Like, is there not an element of that?
That is a good point. But like, one example that I would say then,
because you can't like take that time back. I think whilst I completely agree, like you've got to focus on something. You can't take those moments back.
That's my weakness.
Yeah, that's why it's your thing to work on. Yeah,
that is my thing.
Finding
to work
that
on.
Balance, which I think is a hard one. You've picked a really difficult one.
So I'd say that's my weakness.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, Simi, I have loved chatting to you on the podcast, and we've actually, for, you know, anyone who's listened to this point, we've actually got a very special giveaway. Tell us a little bit more about what you're going to do. So anyone who's still listening to this podcast, they need to.
There is a chance to win a whole week's worth of Simmer meals. So we haven't really spoken much about the product, but they're basically healthy, ready-to-eat meals delivered to your door. So you can basically save all this money and deliver Uber Eats, cooking yourself, save a load of time, and have a whole week of Simmer delivered to your door for you to enjoy.
Yeah. And so if anyone's listening to this episode right now, screenshot it or share it via your Instagram or TikTok. Do a post about this episode of the podcast, tag Talk20s and Simmer Eats. And we will choose one special winner to win a week's worth of meals. And we're actually going to try some meals right now as a little bit of BTS at the end of this podcast behind the scenes. Can't wait to try it. They look absolutely yummy. Thank you so much for sending them through, Simi. And thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. We've actually loved speaking to you. And we always end the podcast with the same question that we like ask all of our guests. And it's if you could look at your 20-year-old self. So Simi at 20, probably, you know, moving between universities and stuff, what would you want to say to Simi? Just one piece of advice.
The piece of advice for me would be that I give to my younger self and just reiterate is that you can have anything you want, not everything you want. Mm-hmm. And maturity is basically the ability to reject good alternatives in favor of even better ones. So for me, that might have been rejecting the job at Google and quitting to go full-time on the business. For mm-hmm. my brother, that would have been like convincing him to stop playing professional football to come full-time on the business. Like, these are great opportunities. And like in life, life's so short, you can only choose a certain number of things, and you have to just basically reject good things sometimes mm-hmm. to pick the thing that is most important to you.
Absolutely. Well, let's try these meals then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Ooh.
So have you got any famous customers?
Yes. So we're very fortunate that we have a lot of famous customers. I think like one of the standout ones is Chunks. It's unbelievable having like one of our favorite YouTubers that also uses the meals. And we've also served Bazinga from Sidemen, Theo Baker, another YouTuber, Philly as well, who's our best mates with Chunks. So
which one's their favorite?
For Chunks, I know it's a jerk chicken, OG jerk chicken.
Which we're just about to try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Philly loves the pasta, so you've also got the turkey sausage rigatoni. That's Philly's favourite.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Here we go. Here's the meal.
Yeah, the jerk chicken, the sauce on top. You got rice, some peas. You got rice there. Mm-hmm. You got spring greens and also you've got plantain in there as well.
Yummy.
Absolutely.
So
I can't wait. It smells incredible.
Yeah.
It really, really does, honestly. You don't really get this. I mean, I've had many a takeaway meal in my town.
Mm-mm. Some ASMR in there.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
Meal is typically delivered on Sunday or Monday, and you'll get them to use throughout the week, so up until Friday.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So anyone who's like meal prepping, like they're trying to lose weight or something like that, that would be a good choice for them because it's like all done for them, but they don't have to. Because I think the biggest thing about, especially when you're young, you're trying to, if you're trying to grow a business and stuff like that, cooking, I do love it, but like I don't always have the time. So then the things that are like easy to make aren't usually that nutritious.
100%.
So that's a big problem.
And that's why I say about the product, it's just like, it's so easy for me to sell it because I literally use it 3 times a day, every day.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's so easy to sell because I'm just like, okay, you're going to be cooking yourself anyway.
Yeah.
One, you don't have to. Two, you can get 60 different meals per month to pick from, made by chefs, delivered to your door, literally bang it in the microwave 3 minutes and it's ready.
Perfect.
And it's nutritious, it's filling. So yeah, it's just, it is like a productivity hack and a health hack, basically.
Amazing.